Welcome into the Sports Objective here on a Tuesday night. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm so excited to have with us Cy Seymour, the ECU color analyst. Cy, thank you so much for coming on, man.
Man, I look forward to it. It's that time of year. It's even cold down here a little bit, so it's ready to get started. Tough times right now, but I'm looking forward to it.
We got two notes to talk about. First of all, we were going to have another guest with you. We kind of wanted to make what I called the ECU Basketball Summit, you and former player letter winner Neil Punt. But Neil has some special news, and Neil always comes on the show like you do. He's very gracious to come on. His daughter went into labor with his grandson, Cooper Hayes. So we'll find out about that. And I think the grandson is coming early, Cooper Hayes. So we'll go ahead and celebrate there. And very proud of Neil Punt. He's one of my favorites, as you know, Cy. A class act, and what a great player in his day to have him from the great state of Minnesota. I know he hails in Texas and the Dallas-Fort Worth area, but he's one of my all-time favorites, Si.
You know, he really was. Even he never quit playing hard. I don't care what the score was. He was tough, 6'8", could really play. Really was a really good player. Averaged about 10 his senior year. His brother was an offensive tackle for the University of Nebraska. This is when Nebraska was loaded. His brother would play for them in football. Both of them about 6'8" and big guys and strong. And Neil was a very, very good basketball player. He was fun to watch.
Well, we're looking forward to whenever we'll talk about that post COVID, that we can all get together maybe one night and talk. Right now, we're having to do a lot, as you know, with Zoom and with we'll use a StreamYard for Facebook Live. And we're live also, Si, on our YouTube channel, so people can see you everywhere. And always, if you, like I said, if you have a show, ladies and gentlemen, and you want good ratings, get Si Seymour. I said, that's a way to boost your ratings. It is November, and television is sweeps time, so I guess that's why we're having.
Yeah, that's right. You're like me. We both love basketball, too. We love them all. But basketball, we see a lot of potential here at ECU.
Well, no doubt my son actually for Christmas wants his my old room. He wants it renovated. Christmas morning opens up, and I'm going to put it up on Facebook. It's going to be nothing but basketball. He wants a basketball theme. So he gets it honestly, right? I mean,
there you go.
He loves all sports, but basketball is his favorite. And I tell you what, Si, I'm just pumped up. I don't know what it is, but I told you our pre-show meeting that there's something electric in the air about Joe and with the basketball team this year. In the past, I was joking with you and I are like that old country song. We were country when country wasn't cool. We were ECU basketball when ECU basketball wasn't cool. And now we have a situation where, I mean, we're talking basketball year round now. I mean, who would have ever thought that instead of like 6 months, we're talking about ECU basketball year round. I never thought, I'm glad I was wrong. I never thought I would see the day for that. It is really exciting, but I think it becomes because of the coaching staff. You're only good to me. I always say with any organization, Si, you're only good as the top.
It's true. I don't care where you are. Where was Gonzaga before? You see, they get marquee, then all of a sudden they're a good basketball program. I mean, that's how it is. And, you know, you say it can be done. That's my point. If you've got good coaches, and we've had some good coaches, but we are also now, and Joe knows it, in a tremendous league that gives you an opportunity to play on a different level every night. And that's so important. And so Joe's got the right idea and has energy like I've never seen. And his staff, Rock and the rest of the coaching staff, have done a tremendous job. And it's an exciting time over there.
By the way, I want to plug, we have a college basketball preview, D1 for the state of North Carolina. We have our first part out, and we're going to put our second part out. We're talking to the coach of Mike Scroggie yesterday from Elon, and it made me think about our days of the Colonial side. You remember all the great matchups we had with a lot, and going to the Richmond Coliseum for the basketball tournament. It just brought back a lot of great memories. But the reason I brought that up is look at where this program's come. You know, nothing against the Colonial. I love that league. It will always be sentimental. That was a league we were in when I first became a Pirate fan and in the 80s. And then obviously being a student and alum in the 90s. And then we moved to Conference USA, now the American. If you look at the basketball league that we're in, you've said it all along. It's a big boy league. I've heard you say it a lot. And I think that we'll talk in just a little bit about the signees Joe got. Three great things. One of the things that comes to mind, and I want to get your thoughts on it. Last year, being the analyst of EC basketball, one of the things that we desperately needed was shooting, especially three-point shooting style. There was a whole bunch of games. Bubba and I always talk about, I said, man, if you have two or three more threes,
that's
you win
right.
the game.
It's when that, you look at that's our simple. Scores, that's how close it was in a lot of cases.
A whole bunch of games less than 10 points.
And when you think back, the team that won it for ECU under Jeff Lebo, you had a great shooter, Akeem Richmond.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you had a guy, and the point guard, too. They could shoot. And it really makes a difference when you can line it up and fire it, and you know it's in the bucket. But I like the potential of even this team this year ECU has. They can shoot it. They can start hitting shots. They're better than what they did last year. But the recruits he's bringing in are our shooters, and they're long, and they're athletic.
Me and Bubba, the two of us, one of our favorite calls is when he makes that, when Akeem made that shot, to win the CIT, and you said Jeffrey. That's one of my favorite. I mean, you know, anybody that knows Jeff Charles, if you know Jeff Charles, one of our dear friends for a long time, and yourself, if there's two guys that loves college basketball or loves ECU basketball more than the two of y'all, I would love to know. And to think about, there's a lot of times where night in and night out y'all have suffered. If there's anybody that deserves to be able to call a winning season and like you had in 2013, and that's the thing you and I talk about all the time. Every time you come on the show, there's no excuse why we can't have good basketball at East Carolina. And the one point that I always counter, and I give you credit for it, is the man. Everybody I talk on the street, they say, you'll never be able to compete with the North Carolinas or the Dukes. I said, guess what? Cy Seymour always says they can only take a few every year. And there's a ton of great talent just
that's
in
right.
Creek County alone.
That's exactly right. And you know, you can't worry about Duke in North Carolina. Nobody beats Duke in North Carolina. I mean, but what I'm saying is you're right. They only take the national guys, and they're great coaches, and they're going to get the national. But there's enough great talent out here. You hit lightning in a bottle, you can make it to the NCAAs, and then you get down to 32 and 16. There's no telling who can do what. I mean, you know, I look at these schools now. You know, you can get in. And so, and especially with this league we're in, this league is just – a tremendous. I mean, when you've got Houston and Memphis, when you look at Cincinnati, Wichita State, when you look at SMU, these are all top. There are 353 teams. I mean, come on. These teams are in the top 20 teams. That's an unbelievable stat right there. In other words, if you're in the top 35, you're in the top 10 percentile in college basketball. Wow. It is so hard to get there. It is so hard to get there. ECU, most teams, if you get to the top third, if you're in the top 100, you're in good categories, and ECU can get there. And then you get to 64 one day, and then all of a sudden you're in things. So it can happen.
No question. While we have a chance, I know Bubba's producing. Thanks to Bubba Rosenbaum. He's multitasking right now. and thank you, Bubba. He's at a niece's birthday, so we don't want to get him in trouble. So he's producing behind the scenes. I know he wanted to say hey to you, Si. I know there's a comment from one of our good friends and loyal viewers, listeners, Johnny Gardner. Bubba, if we could put that up on the screen for Si. Johnny is a great graduate from 91. I don't know if you know him, Si, Johnny Gardner, but he's a huge, huge Pirate fan. The guy knows probably more than people in the record books. He's amazing what he knows. But anyway, let's see if I can put it up here, actually. I'll put it up. It says, has Si been able to get over yet to see any practice time with everything going on? Was curious of his thoughts on J.J. Miles and Noah Farrakhan coming into the season.
Johnny, you got a good question, and I have been over. And I'm going again this week. I'll be over Friday, but I've been over several times. Joe really likes how J.J.'s progressing. He's getting better and better. And as you well know, all of us know, JUCOs take a while, but once they get there, they're very good. Farrakhan is going to be a treat. He is a speedster. He can fly, and he's giving Joe toughness. He's a tough kid that's been through the wars against top quality. He's more than a three-star player, too. This is a kid that was one of the top guards in high school, but then because of the talent level in his team, he had to go down the line and get his share, and they dropped him down. But this kid is a real player. He's going to go hard after you. And I'm excited too, Johnny. I'm just telling you, Johnny, that answered the question. And also, Dave, you're going to like this ball club, but he gives you a toughness, a different level of toughness, and a different level of speed. And we already had good speed. But getting back to JJ, he's shooting it much better and more confident, as he did at the end of the year. He was getting better and better.
Yeah, and you look at, I'm telling you, Si, with the people were laughing when I said this, and I didn't mean any disrespect to former players we've had on the team. But you and I know that pretty much your field goal percentage should be, you should be making your half your shots, 50%, somewhere in the roughly, I mean, you're the coach, but I would say 50% from 3-point land, maybe what, 35, 40%.
Right,
but
right. But
overall, the field goal percentage, you're looking at about 50%. We had so many guys that had open looks, and they just couldn't make the shots in the past. And I'm not trying to be mean to them, but when you're in a big boy league, and you're most of the time you're going, in other words, you're going to have a hand in your face, or you're going to have a guy really like breathing down your neck. And the fact that we had a whole bunch of open guys, I guess they did that because they knew, hey, Dave Richmond for ECU is not going to make the shot, so we're just not going to guard him.
Well, you know, there are several things that you're right. You got to hit the open looks because you don't get many. These teams are in your face. And I think that's something that a lot of kids from high school and junior college have to get used to, the speed of it. You got to get the shot off quick, and the length of everybody. You got to get it up quick, and you got to get up on a different angle. It's very, very, it's a lot harder than you think, especially floor level. When you see how big some of these teams are, you got to make the crisp pass. Another thing that you got to understand, if a guard doesn't flip it over there with something on it and I catch it, there's too late. You got to put something on the passes. So that's another part. But, you know, getting back to this talent level, another guy that's picking it up, and I loved him last year, Brandon Suggs. He's just getting better and better. And Joe said he came back. You know, as a sophomore, you never know about sophomores. He's come back with a vengeance. He's coming back really ready to play, ready to go. And so that's a good sign. Now, we're going to talk about the guys that have really stepped up. But I love those guys. See, what I liked about Brandon, he knows where to go defensively. I thought he drew some charges last year. He got there just a second late. I sometimes thought he didn't get the right call. I thought he was there. So Brandon does a lot of good things that doesn't come out on the score, but on the table, but he does a lot of good things.
Don't get me started. I was just talking about that this afternoon about, I was telling a coworker that's a big college basketball fan, and I told her, I said, no offense to our good friends that wear the striped shirts, but they most of the time they do not get the charge call in basketball ever right. It seems like there's just not I don't know if it's consistency, and with all due respect to them, I'm not out there. That game is going by so fast with the naked eyes. I know they do the best they can, but that rule right there is so controversial because it really, it's a coin flip. Sometimes you say, oh man, they got that right, even if it's against my school. And then sometimes I'm like, are you kidding me? He was there way, you know, but anyway, I digress.
Well, no, it's such a big call because it's usually somebody going to the bucket to make a layup. If you wave it off, it's almost a turnover. I mean, it's a big deal. You took two from them and then you got the ball. It is a big call. And I think they tell officials, when you make this call, sell it, because it is a contract. It's going to go either way. And so when they come out there yelling, I mean, they're selling it because it is close. They don't miss that many. They do a great job. But I think being a freshman last year, I think you'll get there this year and get it done. But I'm optimistic about the whole ball club because everybody's back. I mean, that's unusual in today's climate. That states high of Joe Dooley and his staff. All of them. They are so good.
I was going to say that very thing is that we lost Rafael Chilias, but yet we get an Antoine Jackson who's been at Cincinnati. I tell you what, I know that you told us, I remember where I was recording the show and everything, when I asked you about Joe and about the assistant position opening. It happened, we had you on ironically about the same time that Coach Chilias decided to go back home. And you said, I don't know who it'll be, but I know it'll be somebody good as Joe Dooley, you know. And I mean, boom, we get him. And I'm like, this guy knows the league. He's a great recruiter. He came on our show and Bubba had a chance to interview him one-on-one. He spent a lot of time with us on the show. Just a really good guy. And the fact that that's one thing. It's one thing if you have a guy that knows how to coach, but the fact that he's a really good guy, it makes you pull hard for that team even more.
Hey, you're exactly right on this thing. And I tell you, George Wright Easy's done a good job. And The Rock is one of the best in the business. I mean, he just is. I mean, and Joe Dooley knows it. He gets, you know, Jody and I talk about this stuff all the time. Jody is a lot like you and I. He sees the potential for this program to be really good. Talk about Jody Jones. He's there and he's in it, and Jeff sees it. We're all there, but nobody's like Jody. He really thinks we are, and he likes his coaching staff. He sees how it is. And you can't beat Kyle Robinson, Derek DeMacy. Yeah. We have got so many good people in our program right now. And it goes, it's, you said it right, starts at the top. Joe Dooley is really one of the best in the business. And it's a pleasure working with him. Right now, when you think he'd be down because he's trying to build a program during the COVID, no. He's trying to hit every angle he can to be better. Just a treat.
You know, everybody, you know, Cy, what's great is everybody that we have on nationally brags about Joe Dooley. It's not just you and I, these two local guys, Eastern North Carolina guys, that he's our coach, so we're going to support him. There's we could just rattle off a whole bunch of guys that we've had on that we don't have time to mention all the guys' names, but every one of them has bragged about Joe Dooley, every one of them. That's unusual.
Yeah, and give credit to East Carolina for hiring Joe. Yeah, and he has done a heck of a job so far. I don't think people understand how much he had to go through just at the beginning, just the APR issues.
Right, that was what we're talking about.
To deal with, you know, those are things. And look, I like John Gilbert's a great man. We really have a good staff right now. I look up there, John and Ryan and Greg Pierce. These guys, they're all good, and so. We're excited about it, and you're right. It's a good mess right now. We've got to get through this COVID virus.
I'm not qualified to be the athletic director side, but it looks like, and I do love John and I love Ryan immensely, but the people that were hired looks like those were the people I wanted. You know, when Cliff Godwin came, I was like, you know, who's better than Cliff Godwin, you know? There's a lot of great guys, but the point I'm making, they're the perfect fit. There's a lot of great coaches out there, perfect fit for East Carolina, being a Green Central kid, Snow Hill, comes back home. It's such a storybook kind of thing. You have Mike Houston. I've been following Mike Houston since when he was Lenore Ryan. I jumped on his bandwagon way early. We actually had him on the show the summer before he took the job. He was still at James Madison, and we're like, that's our guy. We got to get that guy. And I remember the night that they said he was going to Charlotte, and I'll tell the story. Kyle's going to kill me. But Kyle calls me. He said, can you believe it? I said, I'm just devastated. Our guy slipped away. I can't believe we didn't get him. And I just wanted to say, I know we're doing a basketball show. Hang in there with Mike Houston. He's year two. You look at Joe Dooley. Cy, I've said this since he was hired. I don't know if you remember that signing when we had the media day, but I told you, year three, I really believe, was when Joe really turns the corner. We've got to be patient with him because he's building a program. He's starting pretty much a program from scratch, being Joe Dooley.
Well, here's the other thing. Listen, Lewis Godwin is Cliff's dad. He's a coach. He's the same kind of guy. Cliff is – I told Cliff this. He can coach anything. you give Joe a ball. I mean, give Cliff a ball. He can coach anything, and he's.
You know, he's on the basketball. He was. You remember last year? I looked out there and said, "What in the world?" I said, "That looks like. Wait a minute. That's Cliff Godwin."
Yeah,
but that was awesome.
But you said it right. You're not going to beat Joe Dooley. You're not going to beat Mike Houston, and you're not going to beat Cliff Godwin in those three positions. Now, I don't know everybody the other coaches, but I can tell you, we've got a good staff. I know those three are good. And you know, the other part of it is this too. This COVID, if you've got an established program, it's a little bit easier. These guys are just starting. Cliff will be fine because Cliff will be ahead of it. You know, he's been there a while. He'll be fine. But for Joe and for Mike Houston, you've got to breathe a little bit. These poor guys are going through stuff in their first 2-3 years of coaching. It's tough, and Mike Houston's done a great job. He got raked over there at Tulsa. And it wasn't his fault. And my son called me, one of my sons who's a coach, Todd. He said, you know, when he saw the second game that next time, he said, I think we got beat twice because of Tulsa. I think we lost two games because, and I'm not sure he's not right. And then you don't have Ehlers at quarterback against
Navy.
I'm not sure where we would be right now. And my point is, you got to stay with this guy. He's a real football coach. There's nobody better. There's nobody better than Joe Dooley. There's nobody better than Cliff Godwin. And you got the staff up top. Don't get on them either. Let's just go after it. Let's play.
All right, and we have a guy. I'm not sure if you know this guy, Si. His name is Alan Powell. Have you ever heard of Pirate Al?
Yeah.
Pirate Al, that's a nice segue. Pirate Al knows me very well. Yeah. I was going to ask you about the new recruits. So let's just go ahead and put that up on the screen, my friend. Thank you, Pirate Al. What's the Si think of Mosher, Reyes, and R.J. Felton? Looks like all three shoot at a high rate. R.J. is explosive.
R.J. is scary good. I really believe that. I think he's Al, and I appreciate you asking. I think he's scary good. I think he's that kind of athlete that every high level wants. He's one that can do it. And then they got a shooter that's really good that can extend it. Then they have another shooter. So when you look at all three guys that we've signed, RJ is the athlete of the bunch. He really is going to be special there. I really believe that. But the other two, if you want to bring them up, I'll be glad to talk on anybody you want to. But they're shooters, and they're long, and they're athletic. But I think we'll be fine with what we've got we're getting in.
I'm just excited. One of the things I'm going to mention, thank you, Pirate Al, because Al is another one of those guys. We could have a convention of guys that love ECU basketball. And, again, if you're just joining us, Pirate Al is saying that it's nice that we can talk Pirate basketball year round and everybody's not looking at us like we have three heads. Everybody sees that something is happening in Greenville. Something's happened at Williams Arena, Menchie's Coliseum, the practice facilities. Something's going on because we got that. I want to ask you about as far as the Gulf Coast Showcase.
Yeah.
I know you've got that coming up and coming up on next Wednesday night. That's why we're having you on this week, Si. A lot of great teams. I know East Tennessee State, and you have Abilene Christian.
Right.
Starting things off at 11 o'clock.
Yeah, and I think when you look at the tough one for us, that opening game against Indiana State, they are, I'm just telling you, they went 18-12 last year. They have, and they're in the Missouri Valley, a great league. They're picked fourth in that league, and that is a tough league. They've got a point guard back in Tyreek Key that was all conference as a junior, first team. They also have two other guys. They have a guy and two guys inside, 6'8", 6'9", that can really play. They're going to be tough. This is, you know, to open, this is a tough, tough opener. And they're going to play man-to-man. It's that Midwest tough style. They're going to be rugged. I think when you look at it, their coaching staff, Greg Lansing's done it. He's been on the hot seat, but he got out of the hot seat last year by going 18-12. And I'm telling you, he's got two guys that are all conference on his ball club. One's first team, one's third team in that league. This is a tough, tough basketball and a tough, tough draw for ECU.
Well, one of the great things about that I love about this tournament, Si, is the very fact that this gets you prepared for the tournament, whether it be we'll talk about that in a minute with the AAC tournament, but also the fact that who knows? I mean, I wanted to ask you this question. Do you think, am I out of line to think our ceiling is a bubble team for the NIT? I really think we have a outside shot at the NIT this year.
Here's what I say about us. I think we can here they have us in tiers as far as where we're going to finish. We're in the last tier. Okay, they're saying it's going to be Temple, East Carolina, Tulsa at the bottom. That's one of the what you see as far as rankings in the league. I think we can push the second tier. I think we could be fifth or sixth, and that's a major step for each guy. And when you get to be fifth and sixth in this league, you're looking at NIT. You're looking at bid somewhere, and that's a big step. I'm putting a lot of pressure on Joe, but if it falls right, see, Wichita State is in a mess right now. They lost five guys. They're not sure what's going on. Houston's going to be
Marshall resigned.
He resigned and six kids left that are good players. So you got to regroup there. Houston's going to be Houston. Kelvin Sampson's doing a tremendous job. He'll be a top 20 program. And when, like I say, when you talk about top 20 out of 353 teams, he's in an elite group. I think Memphis, with Cisse coming in, a 6'11 kid that's a five-star one-and-done guy, along with what they've got coming back, they're the number two team. Then it's SMU, Wichita, and Cincinnati. If we had people at games, I think it's going to be different.
Oh, yeah.
You see, I think we can play with anybody. And it's going to be close. It's going to be close. Because the guard play, Joe's got good guard play back. Tristan Newton's going to be a top guard. He's just a sophomore. You got the big man inside, Gardner, who just is an amazing machine. And then you've got probably Luigi DeBoe's going to start. That's what I'm thinking, at 7 feet. But all the pieces of the puzzle are there in depth. I mean, you got Pig at the guards, Tyreek. You got players, and I just think when you look at Tremont, when you look at Brandon, when you look at Tyree Jackson, you look at Batumba and Baruti and Coleman. There's a lot of pieces of the pie here that can be good, and so I think we're going to be fine. It's just a matter of, do you play well that night? But we've got a chance to make some room here this year.
One of the things when I talk about depth, I'm thinking of side that you hear all the time is the very fact of everybody saying now the trend is, you always hear about 3-point shooting, but now the trend seems to be go small. The great thing about it seems like with our team now is we have the more of a dynamic team. I don't know if that's the right word, but versatility where Cy Seymour says, hey, we need to go big tonight. We got 4 7-footers. Hey, if you want to run and gun kind of offense, if you want to go small, I mean, whatever you pick out, it looks like that they're building it, like we talked about, with the foundation, with a lot of versatility.
I think so. I think Joe has so many different – he could put Baruti at the 5, Garner at the 4. He could put Garner at the 5. He could put JJ at the 4. He's got all these different ways, or he could go big. You know, there are a lot of pieces, and he'll use it right. I mean, he's doesn't leave anything uncovered. He's going to do whatever it takes. I like that he has good guard depth. He really does. I mean, when you think about it, you got Tremont Robinson who can fly. And Farrakhan, I mean, mentioning a guy that could end up starting. And then you look at Pig, Ty.
There you go.
You know, you just look at all the pieces. And for Joe not to have lost any of them, that's unbelievable to me. And give credit to the staff. That's a staff thing. I mean, that's hard to do.
Yeah, especially when you think about COVID, you think about East Carolina. That's a nice segue for me. I was going to ask about a lot of different things, but I want to intertwine the different things this year. I just want to get your feelings. I know Coach Dooley, when we had him on, was not happy with it. I'm not happy with it, but I know everybody's trying to look out for players. What do you think about the one-time transfer rule?
I don't like stuff like that. I just don't. But, you know, they're doing it. You got to live with it. I think that's the one thing that I hate about this whole basketball world. And all of it is too much transfer, no loyalty anymore. And that's just – and I remember Jeff Lebo said, you know, Sal, the biggest problem we have now is coaches do not have control. And he's right. Jeff Lebo was right. You don't. It's now into the players' hands. They can leave you, and it puts you in a jam. And I don't like the one you transfer. It's crazy, but that's what we're dealing with.
Right. It's whether I like it or not, it doesn't matter. It is what it is on that. And another thing to mention before I forget, breaking news as of yesterday, Si, we were talking about in our pre-show meeting about the tournament. And with last year, you know, I'll make the sidebar and then get back to it. But last year when you guys couldn't call the tournament, you know, you have that. We thought we had you sent us pictures, and Bubba and I are just so jacked up and excited. And then we don't get to hear Jeff Charles or Cy Seymour. Are you kidding me? And then I told Bubba, I really thought it would be, and I told you this beforehand, I thought it would be you and I thought it would be Jeff calling the games with no fans, which that would have been weird. But I really thought that was the case. It was not. I know we were very scared about that moment, not knowing the unknown of COVID. We still have a lot of unknowns, but I think we're a lot more equipped to handle COVID. And the other thing is, Getting back to talking about basketball, you got to have a bubble. You got to find a way to make this work. We cannot have another year, not selfishly because I'm a fan of college basketball, but also the NCAA makes so much money. That's why these schools are hurting right now, including East Carolina. We didn't get the funds that we should have because we didn't have a tournament. We got to have a tournament this year.
Yeah, and it's hurt football, the testing that you have to do, the money you have to spend to test. And really, the basketball is a big concern. Right now, I'm just not sure. Because Joe tests these kids on Wednesday, you hold your breath. It's a very difficult situation for kids. It's a very difficult situation for the coaches. And that's why I'm saying you cannot blame this year on these guys. You just can't. It's too weird. And I will never forget, like you were talking about it, Dave. You know, we're sitting here thinking we're going to play. In fact, when we left, the two teams that were going to play were walking into the Coliseum at Fort Worth, you know, at the center, at the Dickey's Center. Well, we go over to TCU to practice because we only had 30 minutes in the Dickey Center. And we passed the teams that are playing the first game. They're going in thinking they're playing. We go over to TCU and we're working out. All of a sudden, here comes the officials and say, it's over. You're going home. And I give credit to Kyle Robinson. We were one of the first teams to get a flight and get out of there. You got to give Kyle a lot of credit
for what
happened. But I'm just simply saying this year is still in turmoil. You just cannot tell how it's going to play out. What if you get a kid and you got to sit 2 weeks? How are you going to handle it? Dave, it's a mess. You got to be safe. And that's going to be another problem. You got to be safe. The radio crew will not be going down to
– I was going
to
ask you.
We're going to be – we'll be in the Coliseum here or somewhere doing the games by television screens and calling it back to you. Jeff has been up on it and keeping up with it. He's done a great job in football. That's what they've been doing in football.
Yeah.
And Jeff, he's the best. I mean, Jeff Charles is the best at it you're going to see. But it is a different world right now until we get the vaccine, until we get people treated. And I want these kids to be careful, and I want our fans to be careful right now, Dave. We can't be too overzealous because you don't want anything to happen.
Well, you know what my day job is, and I'm telling you folks right now, and I don't want to preach, but it's looking right now, no politics. The science is saying right now that we're going to go, unless people, this is, let me just say this too. I was talking about our sister podcast, Talking Race with Mike Ray, which I'm a track announcer at Southern National Motorsports Park in Kenley, in La Cama. And if you want to have any kind of sporting event, regardless of what it is, then please, please, please do not have big Thanksgiving gatherings, holiday parties, Christmas, New Year's. We love our Pirates. And I'm telling you, if we can minimize the risk here, because in these 5 or 6 weeks, the end, when we normally have big gatherings, we just can't have them this year, regardless of who you voted for. It doesn't matter. Regardless if you want to have something on your face or not, it doesn't matter. If you don't want to have anything on your face, stay at home. We're not judging you. I'm just saying I'm selfish. I don't want to have to deal with all the COVID stuff because it's real scary. This stuff in the Midwest right now, with people literally, they have a situation in Kansas. Get this, and I'll get back on basketball.
That's okay.
It's a small town in Kansas, about 10,000 people. They have a lady who, a nurse, who's talking to people on the phone that are COVID, they're positive for COVID-19. They can't even get in the hospital because she's dealing with triage with people on the phone because they don't have enough beds. That's what we can have in Greenville. That's what we can have anywhere in Pirate Nation. I'm telling you, folks, it's very scary right now. If you're in healthcare right now, which I am, it is not a good time for us. And we're very worried about things are not bad now. But if people take it for granted, you know how that goes, Si. You take it for granted. You have this huge party. We're not going to see a lot of our friends right now. There's a lot of friends I haven't seen this year because of COVID. We're not going out to eat like we normally do with people. All kinds of, I love to eat, as you know, Si. And just like I love my sports, but we can't do that right now. So I hope, I'm not trying to preach, but I hope people will understand that it's a very serious thing.
Well, you're preaching to the choir. I'm diabetic and have a triple bypass. So you're looking at a guy that is a poster child. And so my wife is, we don't do anything. And look, it's not even pointing fingers, not political. I'm just saying
right.
The odds are higher if you have those problems, and they're getting worse right now. The odds are, you said it, you're in the hospital field. It's unbelievable. And you're right on top of it. And it's not a political thing with me. This is a virus.
Right. That's what I want to make sure that people understand, that we're not on here with that. It's a matter of, I care about my fellow people, number one. But if you're talking about sports and you're talking about a basketball arena where we won't, you were talking, you made a great point, Si, and I'll get to talking about this. But our arena at Williams Arena, I know everybody talks about modifications or whatever. I'm telling you right now, there's been so many times I was watching on television, I couldn't make that NC State game in 2007. You know, their Marquette game, we upset them when we were in Conference USA. There's so many times, including last year, that I remember that I think it was a Charlotte game. There was some games we had in there. It was so loud in there, and I was so happy that I remember times when it was like almost like COVID, where we didn't have people there. And it was where you could hear the cheerleaders and things that, no offense to them, but we want that place rocking, and we want that place really, really loud, where they hit a three, like when last year when Newton hit that three, was it SMU?
Yes.
That exactly buzzer beater, right. That place was unbelievable on that Saturday afternoon.
And listen, that was a December without the fans, the students there. The SMU win and the South Florida win were tremendous wins, and it was electric in there. And listen, I've been everywhere with this team. There's nobody like ECU fans. Nowhere. Football, there's nobody like ECU fans. They bleed it. And I'm just telling you, if we get it rocking in football, basketball, baseball, there are no fans like that.
No question. As far as the schedule is concerned, I want to get your thoughts on to break it down to fans. First of all, most of the people probably watching know, there's only 31 games this year across the board for college basketball. So basically what's happened is, right, Si, I think the first day people can have games is November 10th. They push it back to the 25th, which is right. The day before Thanksgiving.
Right.
So basically it's 2 weeks we've lost. 27 games, which means that we're going to have 20 conference games. And then we have the seven games, which is there'll be a few games we have in the tournament. And then you have, what is it, four non-conference games at home. No away games. That's just crazy, Si. No away games.
That's right. It's Radford, UNC, UNC Wilmington, North Florida, and James Madison. Real early, right after in December. Real early. Because I think conference play is going to start not far out. Of course, we don't know that. See, that's how tough this all is. Nobody's sure.
So right.
But we are going to have four home games, but probably not going to have anybody there. But it's going to be Radford, UNC Wilmington, North Florida, and James Madison. And then the three games in the tournament down in Florida. And then you'll start conference play.
Well, as far as one of the things that comes to mind that I can think of off the top of my head, there was a stretch last year. There was a four-game stretch of games we should not have lost. And I'll never forget that. And I remember I can see Jaden Gardner's face of his hurt in his face after that fourth game. And it was a Coppin State. I can't remember what game it was. But anyway, I believe it was that in December. And I'll never forget the turnaround they had after that. But if they could just, the key to this whole season, I believe, it sounds like I'm stating the obvious, but it just comes down simply, we've got to have a good start this year. And if we have a good start this year, that's the difference in what we were talking about, which I really believe we have a shot. I'm not saying we're locked, but a shot at the NIT. I really do. I will go, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I really believe with the talent that Joe has in there, with the coaching, the whole nine yards, we are knocking at the door at postseason tournament beyond our conference tournament.
I think so, too. And it's not going to be easy. I'm telling you, Indiana State's the real deal. This is going to be a very tough game. But the great thing is we're not playing with freshmen now. We have you know, we got a group that's been through a year. They know how the coaching staff is, and they know the intensity level that you have to go after. Nobody plays harder than we do. We're going to play hard. Can we hit a few shots, and can we get it done? And I think we can.
No question about it. With regards, when you're talking about ECU, when you're talking about the Pirates and their to me personally, when you're looking at this team, we were talking about one of the questions that I want to throw at you that I always hear, I know Coach Dooley's downplayed it, but there's a lot of people that think, oh my gosh, you have 4 7-footers. That means that 2 or 3 of them are going to transfer. And my understanding is that's not the case, that all four of those guys are going to play a huge part. I know we've talked a lot about the guards, but I wanted to go inside for you right now and be fair to the inside guys, because yeah, I love all four of them. I'm praying that we can keep all four of them.
Well, I think we will. I think first of all, they're guys that have to develop. And right now, when you think about it, DeBoe's probably the most developed. Coleman's coming on a little bit better. I think Quanson's got a little bit of work to do. And I think when you look at it, Edra Luster can shoot it. I mean, it's just a matter of getting some confidence in those big guys. But big guys can help you, and they'll be better this year. They really will be. But they're more of a project when you get them at East Carolina, whereas guards are developed. And so that's what you deal with. But all four of these kids are great kids. They're working hard. Coaching staff's going after them hard. And he'll bring them along. And he's kept them. That's another big thing. He's kept them another year. So give credit to the coaching staff. And to understand that big men at ECU usually have a little bit longer to develop. That's just the way it is. So I think Joe's done the right thing. He wants to try to develop some bigs.
No question about it when we talk about that. And another thing is that when people have to understand that we're so used to speaking of transfer, and we were talking about earlier, that people are coming and going, I'm not getting the play time. But I think if they understand, one of the great things is he had to start out young because he was a freshman. But Jaden Gardner, man, not only is he a great player, he's a great kid, but he has done an amazing job. I think he's the guy that's keeping these kids together. And I'll tell you another thing. I've heard a lot of people, message boards, fans, just people, if you're pumping the gas at the gas station, they find you talk about basketball, wherever. They're always saying Jaden Gardner's going to transfer. Jaden Gardner's going to transfer. I said, no, he's not. You know why? He's one of these special kids that really gets that the fact is that we can build a team around you, Jaden. You can be a big fish in a small pond. And guess what? You're in a big boy league. You're on ESPN all the time. Hey, Si, how about back in the day when the only time we made national television was home team sports?
That's right.
We played an American, a George Mason or something like that, and then maybe the CAA. Tournament, but now that was back. That hasn't been that long ago when I graduated, believe it or not. Well, maybe 25 years, but the very fact that it's not 100 years, it hasn't been that long ago that we were not on national television. We have a great television package. You have a great commissioner, a great league. I mean, that's why when we were going for the other conference, I was just like, wait a minute, the American is a tremendous league. When you have a great basketball, you've got great basketball traditions. You look at a lot of the same way with football, too. Football and basketball has really, really improved over the years, where the American, maybe some people said it was Conference USA 2.0 and all this stuff. Hey, if that's the case, great, because we're going to put, what do you think? We'll get 3 or 4 bids again this year?
Oh, yeah, we'll get 4 bids. And what you said about Jaden, you're spot on. It's right. Jaden's a kid, first of all, I've never seen a motor like his. He never gets tired. I've never seen a guy like Jaden. And he has the ability to split double teams and make them foul him, and he doesn't draw a charge. He doesn't charge. And he is full. He's downhill hard. He's going to the bucket. But they foul him. He's the best at that. And when you hear national news media talking about him, he's that good. I mean, when you hear Jay Billis saying on the air, there's a guy at East Carolina that's unbelievable. And when you hear Kelvin Sampson say after the conference awards, and he said, Jay Gardner should have gotten more than he got. I mean, he said, there's no doubt he's a better player, but this is not right. And that just tweaks him. That's the old Pirate. you know, I got, I'm going after you. Yes. So
a chip on the shoulder.
Chip on the shoulder. That's exactly right.
Well, I was going to ask you, that was a nice, you always give me softballs. I was going to ask you about the very fact of him not getting that award, but that might be great. He's a junior. And the very fact that he didn't get that award is making him work harder. I know that Joe is talking about, and I want to get your thoughts because you're a basketball analyst. I think that we were talking about the Pirates being knocking at the door for the NIT. I think that kid is really close to being an NBA player. I know that it takes a lot of things breaking your way, and there's not several hundred kids like in football. There's not that many when you look at basketball. But I'm telling you, if you pick Jaden Gardner, I'm not an NBA scout, but that team will be better off than they are without him.
Yeah, he's here's the way I feel. He's going to be a great pro somewhere. I don't know if it's in Europe. I don't know if it's here. But if you got to give him a look. I'm just telling you, if you're an NBA scout, you got to give him a look because of what he does. If he can develop that shot even more, he can play on it. He's got it because his motor's great. He's physical. He can go after anybody, but he's going to play pro ball somewhere.
No question about it.
And be a star wherever he is.
No doubt about it. One question I want to ask you is as far as I didn't even think about it till just now. I thought about it earlier is the very fact of the extra year of eligibility.
Yes.
Is that something I'm concerned about that only because of the fact we're talking about, hey, we've got depth. Well, that's great, but you got a whole bunch of guys coming in next year and the next year. And I'm just worried about since we have a young team, it may work. It could go. I can argue both ways about it could help us or it could hurt us. I guess it's too early to know, but I wanted to get your thought on having Jaden next year. It's not a bad thing, but as far as scholarships and stuff.
Yeah, I worry about the juniors and seniors in high school. I do. I mean, right now there are baseball kids that can't get seen. You know, there are football players that are saying, "Am I being seen?" There are, and now basketball, and only five can play in a basketball right. game. So you're looking up, and I'm saying, how do you? It's another challenge for a coach. I can tell you that, and a challenge for your budget to have that many kids. I mean, that's the other part of it. So, and I'm talking about any program. It's a tough, tough situation. And I'm not pointing fingers at who's right or wrong. I'm just saying it's a very tough situation.
No doubt about it. And if there's anybody that could figure it out is Joe Dooley. And then the fact that, you know, it's funny size. I was thinking about Joe. I'll never forget. He didn't want us to talk publicly about it. But the very fact about APR, you mentioned that about the – I'm not going to go into specifics. But so that way I'll be fair to him. But he was talking to us one day about APR, and I was just like, man, that is just unbelievable, the stuff that he has to worry about. He's got to worry about X's and O's is great. He has to worry about these kids graduating. Oh, that's great. But the APR stuff is so tricky and so unfair, and I know they suspended it for 2 years, but I'll be honest with you. I know that it sounded great on paper, and a lot of people said, you know, we got to have these kids graduating and all this, that, and the other, but I don't know if it's the way they administer it. I don't know. It obviously it seems like a calculus problem for me, and I'm not a math guy. That's Bubba, so that's not me. I'm more of a liberal arts guy, but I am smart enough to know that the APR thing has been a really bad. In my opinion, it hurts a team like East Carolina. That's just how I feel.
Well, anytime you turn over coaches, usually because the coach is not there to spur them on. That affects it. And ECU's turned over several times, and it's very difficult. It was a big deal this year that Maurice Kemp graduated. I mean, just telling you, I mean, that's a big deal. What a great player he was. But thank goodness he came back and finished his degree, because that takes something and gives you a positive. It frees Joe up to do more things. I'm just saying there's so many pieces of the puzzle that happen with APR issues. It's difficult.
No question. I'm glad that we don't have to worry about that. As far as the program, you think we're going to be in the top half or the middle of the pack? That would be legendary.
I think we can hit. Like I said, they have us in the fourth tier. They have us with Tulane, East Carolina, Temple at the bottom. I'm saying we could be six right where Tulsa is. We could be there. But that's going to take a lot of hard play. It means you got to beat a good South Florida team and a good Central Florida team. But it can be done.
No question with the depth that we have and with that. And people are, like I was saying, people are so fired up. I think that I'm hoping, Si, let's say hypothetically, because I don't want to, the coaches are going, oh, my God, this guy's like going nuts. But let's say we get off to a great start and we do very well and we go into conference play and we start winning some there. Wouldn't it be nice to have some fans? Again, going back to what I was saying, please wear a mask. Do the social distancing. Because it'll be great to have some fans in there, even if it's 1,000 or 2,000 fans. That'd probably be too high. But let's say there's 1,000 fans or 2,000. When that place, with Pirate fans, we're loud. If it's 50 fans there, they're going to be loud. Hopefully, we have more than that. But I'm hoping that we can start to see in January, but certainly by February, to have a decent crowd. Because if this team goes on a roll like I think it can, man, you were talking about it earlier, and I want to reiterate that. The fans make a huge difference at Williams Arena.
No doubt about it. It makes a big difference. And like I say, it is one of the tough places to play in the league. I think the toughest if we get them all there.
Well, we have a few more minutes left with you. I want to ask you, as far as college basketball as a whole, I know you're talking about the Gonzaga, but what other teams? Are there teams that you're looking at right now, being the college basketball guru that you are? What are you looking around the country? What do you think?
Well, I think Virginia's going to be strong. I think Duke's going to be strong. North Carolina will be stronger. I just think there's so much at parity now. And with this COVID thing, you're talking about a parity year. This could go anywhere. There's no telling. If the ball bounces your way on the virus, you could be really tough. Always the Kentuckys are there. But I like our league. I think Memphis with that 5-star, 6'11 guy, I think he's going to be a Cisse. He's going to be a real player, along with all the other pieces they have. They've got a lot coming back too. I think Houston can be really tough. I really thought if Houston can get to the Sweet 16, and you don't know where it's going after that. Kelvin Sampson does a tremendous job down there. I mean, he really has. And when you look up and you've got, you know, Jaden with us, Cincinnati's going to be good, but SMU is loaded again. But I'm not saying. You're not scared of anybody because you played in the league. So, but I like our league. I like the teams in it. But I think Virginia's got a good ball club. I think Duke will be very strong. North Carolina will be. Florida State will be. You just don't know where it's headed. Auburn's done a great job down there. You got to give him credit. And the West Coast will be much better. So it's going to be a crazy year. It's going to be fun to watch.
We have another question. If you want to have a question for Si. I know you're going to sign autographs. You're going to do a meet and greet, right, Si, right after the show?
Sure.
All these, I'm a music guy, and all these poor artists right now, we got to give a shout out to our music venues, too. They're doing on Facebook and different ways. They're making money by these live streams. So we'll work it out. We'll have a meet and greet, and you can meet Si Seymour. All right, let's go to our next question. If you have a question on Facebook Live or YouTube, you're watching there, then you can do that on Facebook. We have a question for you from Richard Allsburg. He says, question for Si, do you think we physically match up now in the American?
Richard, and we see each other at the game. Richard, I think we do. I think we physically match up. And what I'm saying with the recruiting class coming in next year, he's matching up again. I mean, yes, I think the answer is when we go on the floor, we look the part. We look the part. And that's important. Because these teams are physically bigger than leagues below us. This is a real, as we've said, it's a big boy league, and you better be ready. And I think we're going to be okay as far as that goes. And I like the future. I like the three kids he's bringing in. Same thing. Physical, tall, quick. That's what you have to have. And nobody, Rock, George, these guys coaching with Joe, they see them all. They don't miss anybody. If you say, did you look at this kid? They've looked at him and know his shoe size. I mean, they're just that good at it. they're the best.
No question about it. We're very excited about the league. We're excited about next Wednesday night. And, folks, again, with that game with the Gulf Coast Showcase, Si, I love the fact they're calling it the beach bubble for sure. And our game I want to remind fans too, by the way, it's at 8 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Eastern. So I imagine you guys are going there. Is that 7:30, Si?
Right, we'll go 7:30. And by the way, talk about COVID, the team's busing down, which is rare. They're going to bus the 12 or 14 hours down there. They're worried about being on planes right now. So it's just a totally different game.
I know Joe asked the players, and yeah. I heard him say that the players voted the – and actually, you know, Si, old school, that's not maybe a bad thing to have guys been on buses like that where you have players and you're playing a long, like, road trip. Sometimes that can be where you bond and you find out this guy likes this type of music, or you put a movie on the screen. It's kind of like a bonding moment, the road, like a Road Warriors, right? That might not be a bad thing for sure.
Let's hope so. Let's hope that we can play well down there. And I know we will. It's just a matter of we're playing a very good team to start with.
I'm excited, but I appreciate your time. I know that you've been generous with us, and I'm just so excited about basketball. And everybody probably thinks I'm the guy that I didn't say we're going undefeated. I didn't say we're going to win the league, but I think you're going to see. I've said it all along, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I will put my money with Joe Dooley any day of the week, all the staff, all the people you've mentioned. And we've got the two of the best broadcasters in the country with you and Jeff. I mean, everything is perfect. And I tell you one thing, I can't wait. I'll just say this and I'll let you go. I can't wait till you and Jeff are calling the NIT, the NCAAs. I really believe that's going to happen sooner than later. And I tell you what, there's nobody that's going to be prouder than me, because you guys are the best. And you put up with many years. I hear that from Kyle all the time, Kyle from LaGrange Barber, that you guys have put up with many years where you have had to call games and it was way out of hand and ugly early.
Well, I appreciate you, Dave and Kyle. And I'm sorry Bubba couldn't be with us on the air. But, you know, we all – it's a labor of love. And we have to be patient. This year, look, we can end up being in last. But I can tell you what, it'll be close to every game. And my point is, we're just starting here with Joe. It's just getting going, and the pieces are there. We got to stay confident and keep going and keep our eyes straight ahead, because it's going to get better and better.
It will, and looking forward to the call next Wednesday, the Beach Bubble and the Florida Gulf Coast, the Gulf Coast Showcase. Si, enjoy the game, the call. I can't wait to hear you next week, and I hope to have a great season. Hopefully we can have you back on during the season, my friend.
Dave, you know I enjoy it. And look, have a nice Thanksgiving, okay?
All right, you too. Don't eat too much turkey, okay?
And I won't. I'll do it right. Thank you.
All right. See you, Si. Si Seymour, appreciate him, the East Coast, the East Carolina, rather, analyst. We appreciate him very much, and appreciate having him on. We're about to end the show tonight. Want to remind all you fans to keep in mind a lot of great content we've had over the last week. Want to give a shout out to Bubba, who's producing tonight. He's working his tail off behind the scenes again tonight. We have the Marshall tribute we've got going on. You can hear that. Obviously, we have Coach Houston. We even have our Pirate preview will be coming up Thursday night. And then we have our usual stuff with Coach Houston's press conference. We have the coordinators tomorrow afternoon. Coach Houston will be on Thursday. We'll have the preview Thursday night. We have the obviously the playback will be this weekend with the Pirates, hopefully big victorious in the city of brotherly love. I love Rocky. I love cheesesteaks, but I really want to get a win this week. Pirates, I understand, are a four-point favorite. It went from a three-point dog to a four-point favorite, and we'll see how to that. Appreciate all of you guys listening and watching, and thanks to Si Seymour. Appreciate you, Bubba Rosenbaum, for producing behind the scenes. This is Dave Richmond, and you've been watching and listening to a Pirate preview of the basketball program for East Carolina, and you heard it right here on the Sports Objective. Good night, everybody, and as always, go Pirates!